Have you ever found yourself apologising for things that aren't your fault, worrying you've upset someone over a text message, or constantly seeking reassurance that you've done the right thing? It's something so many people experience, and it's often linked to what's become known as good girl syndrome, the pressure to people please, avoid conflict and chase approval. Joining me today is physiotherapist Caoimhe Gibney, also known online as the Mindful Physio. She's here to explain why so many of us live with that fear of getting into trouble, how our nervous system is playing a role in that, and most importantly, giving us some techniques that we can use to create a greater sense of calm and stop relying on external validation. Caoimhe, welcome to the show. For people who haven't come across the term before, what exactly is good girl syndrome?
So good girl syndrome, probably not a diagnosable syndrome, but something to get you thinking or something to poke at how we may be showing up or certain behaviors that show up in people. So I work a lot with women, and good girl syndrome kind of comes up in a nervous system response. So it's a response called fawn or fawning. It's coined by Pete Walker. So you probably heard of fight, flight and freeze. Fawn is like the fourth nervous system state where we appease or we please the person in order to stay safe. So good girl syndrome in its essence is maybe you grew up feeling like being a good girl would mean that you were loved, you felt safe, you felt like you belonged, and then you go into your adulthood trying to be that to everyone. So you do everything for everyone else first, you put everybody else first, maybe find it really hard to say no, and you're stereotypically good at everything. Might have been, you know, good at sport, good at school, and then in life you're the person everybody comes to, but you're not really sure what you need.
It's such an interesting concept. As you said, not necessarily a diagnosable syndrome, but it's a good nickname to give something that's very much rooted in that fawn response. I've seen very limited about the fawn response before. Seen a lot about fight or flight, but not so much that one. But if we're going to call this good girl syndrome or fawning, is it something that only actually affects women, or can it affect anyone?
Can affect anyone. I just see it more predominantly in women, likely because we have been conditioned to be useful. So if you think about how we receive love growing up, generally was around, oh, you're such a good girl, thank you for doing that, oh, you never cause any trouble. And that just embeds in our nervous system that we'll be safe and loved and validated when we continue to do that. While I don't see it as much in my male clients, but that's not to say that it doesn't exist. I think it's just a response that the body found useful. So we'll continue those patterns until we recognize that they're maybe not serving us.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, it really does. I can see totally where that comes from in so many women as well. I often would have heard when I was younger, you know, putting a well-behaved girl beside one of the boys that were messers in school. It's so linked with us at every single age. I know as well, so many people, men or women, are constantly, we'll say, in that state of worrying about something they've said or constantly replaying conversations in their heads. Why do the brains that we have do that?
I think there's a few trains of thought on it. So if you're predicting the worst outcome, you're, I suppose, trying to mitigate the fallout from it. So if I think you're off with me, if I think I've done something wrong, and I start to play out all those scenarios in my head, I'm almost preparing myself and my nervous system for the worst. While, and we'll say to people all the time, you're going through it twice, if that's the case, or you've put yourself through it and it'll never happen at all. But it's all just survival, it's all safety. So when your body or when your brain thinks that there is something, and lots of us who fawn, and this is something just to consider if you relate to any of this, we have become highly sensitive to environments. So you likely pick up on subtle shifts, on like that, you know, second of a glance that someone gave you where you're like, they don't like me, or I've done something wrong. And then you begin to play that out. And I have a lot of clients that say they lie awake at night worrying about whether they've said something or replaying those conversations. And my response is usually, if that is true, the other person is a grown adult that needs to be able to communicate with you. So you're just losing sleep, expending energy on something that may never happen. Or if it does happen, they need to be able to communicate that. So in training the nervous system or retraining the nervous system, we actually have to help you sit with the discomfort, because as humans, we hate discomfort. We hate yes. that feeling of someone being off with us. So if we play it out in 10 different conversations in our head, maybe we won't have to feel it when it actually happens, which isn't the reality of it.
How much of this fear of us getting into a bother with someone or getting into trouble is actually linked to the nervous system trying to protect us?
From what I can see and from working with people, it's all of it. Those early primitive years basically build your nervous system, and you tend to fall into one of the patterns more than the other. So some people will hear this and think, I don't do that at all. If someone has a problem, I'll go directly to them. Or if I thought somebody had a problem with me, I'd bring it up with them. But then there's this whole other group of us who are so terrified of confrontation. We might cry if somebody starts to give out to us or starts to tell us that we've done something wrong. And this feeling of almost being frozen or stuck in your body is a real response that happens. And something I say to people is, if you imagine being a child, you don't really have the tools. So if you are in trouble, you don't have words that you can come back with. You probably can't explain where you were coming from. You can't physically fight them. You probably can't get out of there. So what happens is we get small, or we try and make it up to the person by pleasing them or by being good afterwards. So the fear that we have now feels real in the body. It's not just a cognitive process. It's actually an embodied process that we have to relearn or repattern.
You've spoken about somatic techniques linked with that. Mm-hmm. What does that actually mean? And how can somatic techniques help us feel calmer and more at peace with everything?
Yeah, so the somatic approach to all of this is a bottom-up approach. So if you go to therapy or you do cognitive behavioral therapy or something, you've likely done a top-down approach, which would be going in and trying to repattern or rewire the thoughts. So imprint a different thought. The bottom-up approach, or the somatic approach, is to let the body or feel into the body when it gets activated. So if I'm taking somebody through this, I would bring you into a process where I say, maybe think about the last time that you were in trouble. And people will be like, oh my God, I feel it in my chest. So the somatic sense of this would be going into the soma, just means body in Greek. So we go into the soma, we go into the body, and instead of doing the cognitive work, we actually imprint safety resourcing. So we either put our hands there and we tell ourselves that we're safe, we breathe into it, we do a technique that helps the body regulate so that you don't continue to live in this cycle of fear, pretty much.
I was going to actually say, for people that feel like they're stuck in that response, could you share a couple of small daily habits that can help regulate the nervous system, even if they're stuck in flight or freeze as well? I know you've mentioned there about the hand on the chest. What other types of things can people do that does help you kind of incorporate that bottom up approach? Especially if people are already doing the top down approach at the same time, it can be good to have them both.
100%. Yeah, the brain is in the body. So we've got to work with both together. There's really simple ways. And honestly, when you look at children, so I used to work as a peds physio, and we'd be working with kids with ASD, autism, ADHD, and they're fascinating because they do a lot of the somatic techniques naturally because they're regulating their system. So if you, let's say, get hyper aroused or you're feeling overwhelmed, overstimulated, actually shaking it off, like putting on some music, shaking it off, is a great way to regulate the system. If you feel that impending doom of getting in trouble or someone about to give out to you, taking a space. So I'll always say, like, take the beat. If that person is in your face, or if the email comes in, I need to pause and take a moment to, like, feel your feet on the ground, to send your breath slightly deeper into your body. So your breath is intrinsically linked with a thing called your vagus nerve, and your vagus nerve is very centered in somatics. So when we breathe deep, and whether that be into our belly or deeper into our ribs, you're going to take the awareness out of your upper chest, which often signals to your body that you're under stress. So if you're breathing short and sharp, which a lot of us are, and if you check right now where your breath is in your body, it's usually up in your upper chest. If you send that breath deeper, and even placing your hands around your ribs, and imagine that you're expanding 360 ribs and into your back, you will send a signal to your body that it's actually safe. So if you imagine that the person is in front of you, maybe raising their voice or getting mad at you, and you just say, I'm just going to take a deep breath here, that signal to your body gives you more space to be able to process what's happening and to regulate. And then another really lovely one I use with a lot of my women is humming. So if we do feel that sense of dysregulation or overwhelm in the body, taking deep breaths in and then humming them all the way out, or humming your favorite song, singing your favorite song, is beautifully regulating for your nervous system. So it's really simple. There are loads of other tips, but there's some really simple ones that I give to a lot of my clients.
Really refreshing to hear them as well. And people need those reminders. Even myself, I've realized, obviously, when I'm on radio, I'm generally speaking seated, but I don't sit with my 2 feet on the floor. I have one leg wrapped around the other, like 4 times, curled up in a ball. Like, no wonder, like, if I'm ever feeling stressed, I'm like, you don't even have both your feet on the ground. Grounding yourself, like, those grounding techniques can be so powerful. Let's talk about social media for a minute. It can make us now just constantly compare ourselves all the time and look for likes and for validation and for people to like tell us we look good or we're doing a good job. What are, like, how has it made our need for external approval even stronger, if you like?
I mean, it's just everywhere. I think as soon as you log on, you begin that comparison, but then you also try and match it. So, like, I don't use my personal page at all anymore. So I've missed out on all the babies and the engagements and the weddings, but it means that my nervous system then isn't scanning for that, or I'm not trying to prove. So a lot of the work that we do is asking you, like, who are you proving this to? And people who fawn or people who fall into this good girl syndrome, they tend to be the overworkers, the overdoers. And a lot of my clients are severely burnt out. So when I look at burnout as, you know, a holistic approach to healing, I'm asking you, like, are you spending all this time online and trying to either get that validation for yourself or feeling like you're falling into this spiral of it'll never be enough? So then you go and try and prove it in different ways in your life. And it's just noticing those things that dysregulate you or overwhelm you. And then the boundary, like we'll always say, boundaries are for you. They're for you to upkeep and uphold. So if I put a boundary in place, I owe it to myself to keep that boundary in place. So, like, just minimize the screen time in the mornings, all the things that we're told to do, but I know it's hard to do it. And the other thing that I wanted to, I suppose, to touch on with social media is it can bring you into a different nervous system response called functional freeze. So a lot of us do this thing where we go on and we're already overwhelmed. We feel like we want to numb out of our lives. Like, you kind of want to just dissociate. And then you just sit there and scroll and you're not even taking anything in. You're just mind-numbingly moving through it. And it actually adds into this nervous system state of being dysregulated. So getting outside, like getting out for a walk, doing all the simple things. And then, yeah, take bite size. I mean, we're all going to use social media unless we're super duper disciplined. But if you can just minimize it, and I think apps, like I'm using time blockers at the minute, and they're so helpful just to help, because I know it's hard.
I also use them and I can advocate that they can really help. I mean, it does depend on the day. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I keep like unblocking them through it, but other times they can be really useful. I think it's the thought that counts, isn't it, with everything. Ironically enough, speaking about social media, before I let you go, if people want to find out more about you and your events online or on socials, where's the best place to find you?
The irony. Yes, so it's over on my main page is The Mindful Physio, and then I run somatic breathwork trainings on Anum Collective. So that's where you can find me, and I host retreats and trainings and in-person events. So it's just been amazing to meet people. And I think with the whole age of AI and being a little bit obsessed with being online, in-person events are really special. I can really see that shift, particularly at home in Ireland, after spending so much time in Australia, that it's just really shifting. People want to meet, they want to connect, and they want to actually feel something. So we're moving in the right direction.
Cuiva, thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat to talk about all this.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.